Good afternoon. In the chapter of the book by Kent Hughes that we're looking at today, he made this statement. He says, "No one has ever cultivated a ministering heart and lived to tell of a life of ease." No one has ever cultivated a ministering heart and lived to tell of a life of ease. He also said, "Little hearts, though safe and protected, never contribute anything. On the other hand, hearts that have embraced the disciplines of ministry, though they are vulnerable, are also hearts which possess the most joy and leave their heart print on the world." Ministry is not easy. And in the chapter, as you read it, Kent Hughes actually really focuses in on the difficulty of ministry. If you didn't know better, you might think that he was trying to scare people away from being involved in ministry. But I've done that before. 2 weeks after I met my wife, I was already preparing to move to the Philippines as a missionary, so 2 weeks after I met her, we sat in a church parking lot, and I gave her the blackest, darkest, most awful, horrendous, scary, frightful picture of missions that I possibly could, and the kind of life that we might live together. And she began to cry. She began to share her heart with me, and I knew then that we were going to get married. I have started 2 churches from scratch. I have led a ministry that recruited and weeded out and oversaw church planters. And I've told people several times that there is nothing more difficult and yet at the same time nothing more rewarding than planting a church. But in this talk today, we're not just talking about so-called professional ministry. We're talking about every Christian being a minister. What are some of the practical disciplines for every Christian in ministry? Some of the practical disciplines. I want to share with you 6 today, and they're on your outline if you'd like to follow along. The first is every Christian, every follower of Christ is to be involved in ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 says, "Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself." Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, Paul said, "Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In this grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." And then he goes on to list a variety of gifts that every member of the body of Christ has to be used in ministry. And we are to look over this list of gifts and say, which ones stand out in my life? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. Again, Paul is talking about gifts for ministry. And he says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. He said there are different kinds of service, but we all serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Sometimes people will ask me, "How many ministers do you have at your church?" And my response is, "I think it's somewhere over 300. Because everyone is to be involved in ministry. Now, only a few of us are what people might call vocational ministers, doing ministry as a vocation that fall into what Paul described in Ephesians chapter 4 as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But even though that might be a small percentage of the body of Christ, every member of the body of Christ is to be involved in ministry. Look at that verse. In Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, Paul said, "These are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers." And then he said, "Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ." So who does the work? Who does the work of the ministry? The people in the body of Christ, the followers of Christ. They're the ones who do the work of the ministry. The work of the leadership ministries is to do the training. Your pastor's not supposed to do the work of the ministry. Your pastor's ministry is to train and assist you and all the other members of the church family to actually do the work of the ministry. And that's when the family of God really begins to grow and have an impact in the world and in the culture. Do things work smoothly around your house when you do all the work? When you do all the outside work, all the lawn work, all the cleaning of the gutters work, all the trimming work, and then you do all the laundry and you do all the dishes and you do all the vacuuming and you do all the cleaning, and your kids do absolutely nothing and nobody else does absolutely nothing. You do all the work around the house. How's that working for you? Doesn't work very well. You know, there's a children's song I sang in children's church growing up that said, when we all pull together, and we would do this, we would grab a partner, you know, and 5-year-old boys, we would try to jerk each other's arm off when we sang it. But the idea behind the song was, when we all work in ministry together, we're doing what God wants us to do. Secondly, ministry is not something we do. Ministry is everything we do. You've heard the phrase, seize the day. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, today is the day of salvation. John chapter 9, verse 4, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. You are to be involved in ministry right now. You're to be involved in ministry right now. If you can't answer that question, then you need to get involved in ministry right now. What is ministry? Ministry is simply serving. The New Testament Greek word that's translated service is also translated ministry. Ministry is simply serving. Where can you serve? Who can you serve? How can you serve? And ask yourself these two questions. What is the big story? The big story is John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. That's the big story. What's the little story? What's my place in the big story? Where do I fit in the big story of Jesus Christ coming so that the world might know Him and be reconciled to God? Where do I fit in accomplishing that purpose? Third, make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. Several years ago, I read about the town of Lyndale, Ohio. Lyndale, Ohio has a population of 200 people. But running through the jurisdiction of the town, there is 440 yards of interstate highway. One year, Lyndale, Ohio received $400,000 in speeding ticket revenue. 80% of their town budget was received in speeding ticket revenue. They learned how to make the most of every opportunity. No, I'm not talking about Sharpsville, Indiana. Although we could probably tell the same story about Sharpsville. But there are opportunities to serve and opportunities to minister every day. Have you ever seen that commercial on television where someone picks up some trash? And another person notices that person who picked up the trash. And so then that person opens a door for someone. And someone else notices that they've opened a door for someone. So that person then picks up a lady's groceries that she dropped. And someone notices that. And so then that person lets someone go ahead of them in traffic. You know, giving them this kind of sign instead of another kind of sign. And it just goes on and on and on and on. It becomes contagious. These are things that we do in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus means we do them on the authority of Jesus. We do them as a representative of Jesus. 1 John 4:17 says, we live like Jesus here in this world. We live like Jesus here in this world. So do what you can while you can. A couple of weeks ago, a couple of my friends from high school, that both of their fathers passed away. I went to one of the gatherings, and that night I laid my head on my pillow to go to sleep, and I began to think. There were 8 high school seniors on the swim team the year that I was the senior on the high school swim team. There were 8 of us. And I started going through the list. I'm the only one out of the 8 high school seniors on my swim team that still has my father walking in this world. All the rest of them have lost their dads. Make the most of your opportunities to minister and to serve. What can you do this week? What can you do this week? You don't have to sign up on a sheet to be involved in something. Just do something. You want to make your pastor's day? Go to church and say, is there anything you need done around here, Pastor? Anything around the church need painting? Can I help out with a kids' class? Yes, men can help out with a kids' class. Wouldn't be a bad idea for the kids to see a man in the kids' class. How about some mentoring? Travis will talk to you about mentoring. What do you got, Travis? Half the mentors that the schools are calling for right now? Serving food? Can any electrical issues here at the church, Pastor, that I can fix? How about you got a shed that needs cleaned up? What can I do anything? What are your gifts? What do you enjoy doing? You know, there's all kinds of spiritual gifts, inventories, and surveys and classes you can go to, but it really boils down to, what do you enjoy doing? What are you good at? Do it and you'll discover your spiritual gift. Do it for Christ and you're being used to grow the family of God. A pastor in Louisiana named Larry Stockstill told of a situation in his church when a family moved into town. They had been attending the church for only 1 month, so they had not really gotten involved. But their daughter was stricken with Crohn's disease. She was only 17 years old. She was losing enough blood to die. She was in ICU. The hospital called and the family had listed the church as their home church, even though they had just moved there and been going for about a month. And so a small group, even though this family wasn't involved in a small group yet, the church assigned a small group to help them. And so this small group fed this family when their daughter was in the hospital. They washed their clothes. They visited at the hospital. They donated blood. When the daughter was released from the hospital, do you think the family felt like they had a home church? You better believe they did. God asked Moses, Moses, what do you have in your hand? I've got a stick. God said, use it. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? What are your skills? What are your abilities? And don't say you don't have any. You're ripping the Word of God into shreds if you say you don't have any. Fourth, do ministry with others. Do ministry with others. Serve as a team. Serve as a family. Build relationships. Don't allow yourself to get into difficult situations alone. There's a reason why Jesus sent out His followers 2 by 2. One time, a bricklayer tried to move 500 pounds of brick all by himself from a 4-story building down to a sidewalk below. He had an accident. And here's what he wrote on the insurance claim form. He said, it would have taken too long to carry the bricks down hand by hand, so I decided to put them in a barrel and lower them by a pulley which I had fastened to the top of the building. After tying the rope securely at the ground level, I then went up to the top of the building. I fastened the rope around the barrel, loaded it with the bricks, and swung it out over the sidewalk for the descent. Then I went down to the sidewalk and I untied the rope, holding it securely to guide the barrel down. But, since I weigh only 140 pounds, the 500-pound load jerked me from the ground so fast that I didn't have time to think of letting go of the rope. And as I passed between the second and third floors, I met the barrel coming down. This accounts for the bruises and the lacerations on my upper body. I held tightly to the rope until I reached the top where my hand became jammed in the pulley. This accounts for my broken thumb. At the same time, however, the barrel hit the sidewalk with a bang and the bottom fell out. With the weight of the bricks gone, the barrel weighed only about 40 pounds. Thus, my 140-pound body began a swift descent and I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for my broken ankle. Slowed only slightly, I continued to descend and landed on the pile of bricks. This accounts for my sprained back and my broken collarbone. At this point, I lost my presence of mind completely and let go of the rope, and the empty barrel came crashing down on me, and this accounts for my head injuries. As for the last question on the form, what would you do if the same situation arose again? Please be advised that I am finished trying to do the job alone. Don't minister by yourself. We're not meant to minister by ourselves. We're meant to minister in teams. Number five, don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray. This is where we get our direction and our power for ministry. This is where we get ideas. This is where we get inspiration. Missionary Mary Vespa said, "Everything I do in ministry is an overflow of my prayer life." Everything I do in ministry is an overflow of my prayer life. We cannot talk about priorities without talking about prayer. Spending time talking to God, listening to Him through what He says in the Bible, through what He says to the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit speak to us in agreement with the Bible. And then number six, count the cost. Count the cost. Now this does not make ministry an option. You don't count the cost so you can say, "Oh, that's too great, I can't do it." But you count the cost so that you'll realize what the cost is and you won't quit in the middle of the job. Matthew 16:24, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If any of you wants to be My follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow Me.'" When you set yourself to do something for God, there will be spiritual opposition. You must know about it, and you must be ready for it. A football team doesn't just have a defense that lets the offense go. Come, score a touchdown. Be our guest. I'm a little distracted in giving that illustration, thinking about what just happened at the Indianapolis 500 the other day, about the buying and selling of positions. But most of the time, when you set yourself to do something, there's going to be opposition in doing it. And that's certainly true for ministry. And God allows certain difficulties to happen to test us, to strengthen us, to make us more reliant on Him, to make us realize that we can't do it alone. When we say that we're not to do this alone, we're not just talking about being involved in ministry with other human beings. We're also talking about the Holy Spirit alongside of us and making sure that we have the Holy Spirit with us when we're involved in ministry. The disciples would argue amongst themselves. Nothing hinders ministry more than Christians in disagreement. If you cannot agree, if you do everything you possibly can and you still cannot agree with someone else, be like Paul and Barnabas. Go your separate ways and let the ministry be multiplied. But don't keep cutting on each other after this happens. You ever thought about the word division? Division. Two visions. Can't have two visions and be successful. There can only be one vision. If there's more than one vision, separate and make more than one ministry. But if you're going to be together as a team in ministry, there's got to be one vision that everybody's working towards. For ministry to be successful, there's got to be unity. Don't let the enemy create unnecessary division in your life. And one way to make this happen is to realize it's not about you. It's not about us. It's not about what we want. It's about Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ." Again in the chapter, Kent Hughes said, We only have to glance at a newspaper to be reminded that we live in a time when there is an urgent need for enlarged, caring hearts, which are disciplined for ministry. Huddle may be taking a break for the summer, but you need to be involved in ministry this summer. If you're not involved in ministry, you need to be involved in ministry somehow, some way, through your church, through a community organization, finding somebody that needs to be served and serve them. Every Christian is to be involved in ministry. Ministry is not something we do. Ministry is everything we do. We're to make the most of every opportunity. We're to do ministry with others. Don't forget to pray and count the cost. Father, as we enter into the summer, Lord, help us to enter into a time of looking for opportunities to serve You. Give guidance to every man. Even in this time of discussion right now, may there be ideas and inspiration that will flow, that will cause ministry to be birthed and ministry to be expanded in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.